What's up, party people? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Today, I have Seb Brent. Watch me mess this up, Brentigan. I think I said that right. He is known as the Britpreneur. Oh, good. He's a speaker, best-selling author, and a digital marketing veteran with nearly a decade of experience under his belt. Seb is, I'm sorry, my mic is like messing up on me here. Seb has worked alongside 7- and 8-figure earners to scale their marketing strategies. So this is why I want to have this conversation, because a lot of you are always talking about, you know, marketing or how to buy your time back or how we can do this. So I got the person here for you. Okay. He is really in, he's been doing this for a long time. He's earned not one, but 2 digital marketing awards. He's a globetrotter at heart. Now, Seb is passionate about helping others succeed through marketing automation, lead generation, and beyond. So guys, fasten your seatbelt, pay freaking attention, grab a pen and pad, and let's get into it. Seb, how are you? Welcome to Straight Talk.
Hey, Nina, thanks so much for having me. I'm doing really well. I'm just excited to dive into some stuff today. I think it's going to be really, really helpful. And hopefully everyone on here will get something of value. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. You know, I like to have these kind of conversations because I speak to so many people who are in the entrepreneurial space, especially in the service industry, right? Like coaches, consultants, things like that, right? So a lot of them listen to the show. I talk to them a lot. There's always emails and stuff like that. Digital marketing is like one of those things you have got to learn. Like it is one of those things you have got to learn. There's no way now that we can really get away from that. Like all of us are online, we're all doing this digital stuff, and the world is changing, right, Seb? And one of the things I've noticed is the big leaving of corporate for people to start their own things. And so that's why I'm really waiting to dive into this conversation. But before we do that, I love to know a little bit more about you, and I love my audience to know more about you. So who is Seb? Who are you, dude? Tell me.
Great question. So, it's a lot of you can probably tell, or pretty much all of you should be able to tell. I'm from the UK, so I'm 32 years old. Absolutely love digital marketing, but in terms of outside of that, I am a father. Most importantly, aww, so I am a father to a 20-month-old daughter. She's amazing.
And so fun. Yeah,
that's something that really drives me, excites me every day. And as you mentioned, I love to travel, love to get out and experience new things. And I said, you know, the great thing about what I do and what a lot of us can also do is we can work online, work virtually, so we can create a lifestyle and, you know, live that life, and kind of work goes around it rather than the other way around. So I always try to maximize that as much as I can. So that's a little bit about me in a nutshell.
Well, I mean, because you're a girl dad. I mean, how awesome is that, right? My son just had his first daughter too. She's 7 months old. It is like the most precious thing in the world. I mean, you must love having that time to be able to spend with her, seeing her growing up. I mean, the time is precious, isn't it, Seb? You probably look at her and like 20 months gone, right?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
It just flies, you know, every day she changes all the time. So it's, you have to make the most of that time. You never get it back. So
yeah, exactly. Is she walking already?
Yeah, she is. She's walking all the time. It's all she does. Now she knows how to do it. She won't stop. So when she's not walking, she's thinking about walking. So it's great.
That's awesome. And it just like, it goes into a little bit of what we're talking about, right? Like you have to start somewhere. And one of the things that with, you know, getting into your digital marketing head, because that's what I want to do, get up in here, right? So I want to talk about that because when you first get into this, it's very overwhelming. Like when I first became a coach, I didn't even think of what digital meant, right? I just kind of thought I had to just show up online and all that kind of stuff. But there's so much more behind that. There's like funnel building and all of it, and language and copywriting and all of this stuff that comes with it, right? Now, was digital marketing something, because I know you've been doing it for over a decade. What were you doing before? How did you translate that into digital marketing, what you did before and what you do now?
Really good question. So I've always had a bit of a, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And before I did digital marketing, I actually worked for local government in finance administration. So something very different. Mm-hmm. But back then, I was looking to start a business of some kind. And I kind of fell into marketing while I was working that that government finance job. I was trying to look for a way to start a business, be my own boss, be an entrepreneur. And I really had a passion for social media. I thought social media was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I also did some network marketing. So I was trying lots of different businesses, trying to find my niche, trying to find what's that one thing that I really enjoy doing, I'm passionate about, that drives me, that I can actually also do as a job rather than just as a hobby and as an interest. So, and, you know, it was a bit of a leap of faith going from working that, you know, safe, secure job to starting a business, especially doing something very different from what I was already doing. So it was a lot of trying to learn marketing, also trying to learn how to start and run a business. I'd never had any experience with that. And I started quite young and I didn't have many people to look up to as role models in that area. So it really was a tough learning curve to not just get into digital marketing, but actually run that as a business and do that as my job instead.
It is tough, isn't it? And a lot of things come to play with that. Like you're saying, you know, you were young, as was 10 years ago. But I think all of us, like, we realize how tough it is actually to become an entrepreneur. And then you start to doubt yourself, and you shouldn't do that. We're going to go forward to what you're doing now, because a lot of times that's what all it is. It's missing those pieces in digital marketing to get that ideal client, to get that person in your system. And I help women create coaching businesses, right? That's what I do. And what I realize is all of the imposter syndrome and the things that comes in because they feel like they don't know enough, they're not wise enough, they're not good enough. And none of that is really true at all, actually. It's just you don't know the systems, or you don't know how to build a system to support what you are trying to put out in the world. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I really do. I feel so strongly on that. I think just having that system in place is so key.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. And so I wanted to talk to you about this marketing, this digital marketing evolution, right? Because things are changing. And you've been in this space now 10 years. So being in this space for like a decade, what are the key shifts that you have been seeing, right? Like what are you seeing now that can help these entrepreneurs that are listening to adapt to these rapid changes? Because everything seems to be changing, right? The way we message, the algorithms, the way we present, short form, long form, digital, not digital. I'm like, it's crazy. So tell us what you've been seeing in shifts and changes.
Definitely. So I think the biggest changes have definitely been over the last couple of years with the introduction of a couple of things that I've noticed that have been really, really interesting and also really effective. Here's the two things that they are. So one of them is the use of AI. So mm-hmm. AI is obviously not a new thing, but it's the first time AI has become mass market in the last, you know, 2 years or so. So that's right. The first thing. The second thing is WhatsApp automation. That's quite a new thing for businesses. And, you know, WhatsApp business, of course, has been around for a while, but we're talking about something that's different. We're talking about being able to actually automate incoming, outgoing messages through WhatsApp. That's quite a new thing that a few businesses now are doing, but it's a lot of businesses are not doing it. And those are things that have been really, really, you know, different, game-changing things, shall we say, in the industry more than anything else. So those are things we're doing a lot of in our agency, using a lot of AI, a lot of WhatsApp automation, and actually combining the two as well. So, which I can get into if we've got some time. But yeah, there's been a lot of changes recently, and it's a great time to be in digital marketing. It's almost like the second gold rush is the best way I can describe it. Mm-hmm. It's a great time to really be looking into what these new changes are, these new technologies are, and how you can obviously, more importantly, capitalize on them as well.
Yeah, I remember when me and you first met, we talked a little bit about that because I never heard of that before. I shouldn't say I never heard of that before because I've seen some ads on WhatsApp when I open it to speak because I have my group coaching on there, right? But I never thought it was effective in marketing. Like I'm like, well, who would I reach out in WhatsApp? Like how would I even do, how does that even work type of thing, right? So if you can take us through that a little bit, I'd love to know, like, what are you seeing? Is it being effective? You know, are you seeing your clients grow there? Like, tell me a little bit about that. And also, like, who do you work with, right? So are you working with people who have widgets and products? Are you working with service-based providers on there? Like, let's dig into that.
Definitely. So, yeah, in terms of who we're working with, it is predominantly service-based businesses. Specifically, we are working with a lot of businesses in that industry that are running a one-to-many training model. So we are working with business owners that are running events, conferences, or online versions of those as well. So we are working with businesses looking to really get their message out to, you know, almost mass market, and doing that at scale through events and masterclasses, webinars. And in terms of the relevance of the WhatsApp side of things, that's the attention there is huge because, you know, talking about some of the changes, going back to your other question, touch on that as well. Some of the changes that have happened since when I first got into marketing and where we're at now is one of them is email marketing. Mm. Email marketing is still effective, but the response rate, the average response rate for an email is definitely lower now than it was even a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's why having newer and more engaging platforms such as WhatsApp are really, really instrumental and definitely something to look at that's more, it's where the attention is. For example, I'll give you some stats. The average open rate for an email is 20% at the moment. Mm-hmm. 20%. With some of our clients, we've got it higher than that, but that's like that's an average. The average open rate for WhatsApp is 80%. So really? It's a heck of a lot higher. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
And yeah, it really is. And also it's not just the open rate, it's the response rate. The average response rate for WhatsApp is still as high as 70-80%. So that's not just people reading our message, which is important, but that's people clicking a link or replying back to the message. So it's worth looking at these different mediums. Of course, there's rules in place where you can't just send a WhatsApp message to, you know, 10,000 people in one hit. And there's certain things, certain ways you set up the message so that you're not shut down by WhatsApp and you're following the rules. So it's a little bit more tricky than, let's say, email or text messaging, but the potential there is absolutely massive. And we've found it very effective with helping with events show up, webinars show up. For those of you who are coaches and you have call booking campaigns, call booking funnels, we've found it helps with call booking show up rates as well and the quality of people that attend these discovery calls or anything like that. So it's been really, really, the impact's been huge, even though we've only been testing it for under a year now. So it's still quite new to us and new to a lot of other people as well.
Well, I mean, it's very new to me, right? And I've been in this space for a long time. And I never looked at it that way because WhatsApp was just something that I used because of the Wi-Fi capabilities and that I can reach people in different countries easier that way, right? So I never looked at it as, oh, I should be thinking about this, like getting into people's messaging box and see if I can reach them that way. Is WhatsApp through Meta? Like, do you have to go through Meta to use the WhatsApp features?
You do, yes. So you need to have a Meta business account.
Okay.
And there's a few things you need set up inside of that account. So of course you need a phone number. So you've got to make sure you've got a phone number that is not the same one as your existing WhatsApp. So there's a few little steps you have to put into place, but it all runs through Meta. And the downside with dealing with Meta, especially for those of you listening who have run Facebook adverts, is, you know, if you don't follow Meta's rules to the T, then you could have some problems where, you know, your account could get restricted or possibly even shut down if you go against those rules. So it, you know, it is, I'm making it sound like it's the best thing ever, but there are things to be conscious of, and you've got to play by the rules when you are using the platform. It's very, very important.
Yeah. And I think unless you are in this digital media space, and this is just my opinion, I think you should find somebody who knows how to do it. And it, because it is a little tricky. It is, right? And so sometimes, you know, Meta will say, hey, boost this post, and you're boosting it, but you don't even know where you're boosting it to, who you're boosting it with. Like, you just know that you're spending money. And this is something that happens, I think, to a lot of us. I know it's happened to me, where you're throwing spaghetti at the wall. You're hoping that something sticks, right? And now you are a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand dollars in, and nothing's happened, right? Because there's copywriting that needs to happen. There's a way to message your way, something that needs to happen. Like, there's a lot of pieces to this, Seb, right? And so I know that you know, when I was reading your bio, you collaborated with a lot of 7- and 8-figure earners, right? So what is the biggest game changer they leverage to consistently grow and scale their business that maybe some of us who are not 7- and 8-figures should probably start putting in place? And even if it's just like one or two like high level things you can tell us that we can start to think about.
Yeah, really good question. So there's other aspects to, you know, growing, scaling a successful business on the tech side. I've mentioned about AI and WhatsApp as some strategies, but the important thing that you need, which can actually host a lot of AI facilities and a lot of WhatsApp automations, is having a CRM system, a customer relationship management system or software that will allow you to combine everything in your business. So I'll give you an example. One of our clients we're working with, that's an 8-figure business, they run a heck of a lot of events and webinars. They run probably 200 to 300 per year. I guess they run it really at scale. So they need a powerful system to be able to handle all of those different events. You know, every event they run, they need a way to track when someone has registered for that event, which lead source they've come through. Has it come through a Facebook advert? Has it come through an email, some email marketing? And there's a lot of other aspects to it. So having a CRM system allows you to track and understand what's happening in your business, what's happening in your marketing campaigns, is really, really key. And, you know, if you are running your business off a Google Sheet, then that can only go so far. There's nothing wrong with that, but you need to be able to have a very robust system that can run these things at scale. So having that system in place is really, really key. So not just from a point of view of being able to, you know, needing it to actually fulfill that, but it's also analyzing, reviewing the data. So, you know, looking at, if you're running Facebook adverts, how effective are they? You know, how effective is your campaign? Is your landing page, your website actually converting? Is it converting poorly? Are you getting lots of visits to that and very few leads? So it's just ways of tracking and understanding, look at that data to know, you know, what is working in my business and what's not working. And without that system, and that's something I recommend having quite early on, having that set up, so that you can get the data and understand what is working, what's not working. So that's the biggest thing I've seen that's made a real difference, having that system, and obviously having it set up in the right way as well.
I really agree with that. You know, when I first started, it's funny you said Google Sheets, because that's exactly how I started, right? Google Sheets and the free MailChimp, you know, that type of thing. And I quickly realized this is not going to work, especially when I was letting so many leads fall through the cracks because I didn't know who did click, who didn't click, you know, what did they like, what they didn't like, which video was watched the most, whatever. And when you don't have that data, you can't make informed decisions moving forward. So I really agree with that 1,000%. Now, does your agency set people up with a CRM?
Correct. Yeah. So one of the services we offer is a done-for-you digital marketing service. That could be related to setting up a CRM system. We also work with businesses. If they've got a CRM already, we review the CRM, we audit that, and we make changes accordingly depending on what is needed.
Okay.
Maybe that could be tidying up the CRM. One of the problems with a CRM is if you don't have the structure and a uniform way of recording data, it could be that you've got a team and everyone's using the CRM slightly differently.
Yeah.
One person might use it slightly differently to another person, and that can impact how data is stored and how tracking is set up, etc. One of the things we look at is simplifying it, making those changes so everything's more logical and consistent in the CRM system. You know, one of the biggest problems I've seen is companies at a high level. I'm actually working with a client at the moment. We've had the issue I've just described is, you know, that it's impressive that they've got to, I think, like a seven-figure level. But on the front end, that's brilliant. But on the back end, they've not really fully set up the tracking. So, and it's a lot more difficult now that they're quite far down the road. I've had this problem for so long.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like if you have a problem for several years, it's almost like if you've got a bit of a niggling pain in your knee and you kind of ignore it for a while, but then you leave it to the point where you can't really even walk because it's that bad, then you've got to go to the doctor. That's sometimes the level that we see of, you know, having that disorganization in your CRM. You know, if the CRM is not set up properly and it's not organized, segmented properly, you haven't got that consistency, then, you know, that can affect your whole business.
Yeah.
You might be getting the wrong stats on if a campaign's working or not. You could even be turning off a campaign that you thought wasn't working, but actually is working because everything's kind of set up wrong. So it's super, super important. Obviously, getting new leads in and new customers in is important, but that process that no one really sees, but is still important, needs to be clear and set up correctly as well. So exactly as you said, Nina, find an expert to help you with that. That could be myself. That could be someone else. There's talented people all over the world who can help you with that. And, you know, but it's even if you're on a tight budget, I still will invest a few hours having someone have your CRM set up correctly or have them review it. It's just going to pay off down the road. So you don't have that problem where you could either have a problem where you've got slight knee pain, like I mentioned, and you get it fixed there and then. You don't want it to be to a point where you can't walk and then you've got to get it fixed. Like you can do something about it early on. And that's what I really recommend.
Yeah, no, I think that's brilliant actually. And it's making me think like, okay, cause I, you know, have an agency that I work with, but I don't know that they have given me all of that information you just gave me, right? So that made me think, I got to go back and see if that's even set up. Otherwise, I may be losing a lot of money and putting a lot of money out on the table because if I don't know what people are clicking or where they're clicking, or, you know, if I don't know what's happening on the front end, then I'm not going to know at all what's happening on the back end because I'm not going to have the data. And that's actually really good. And I think it's so smart for you to do that, right? To do an audit in people's CRMs is really smart because a lot of people set them up not knowing. And we really do. We set them up not knowing, but we think we're doing the right thing, right? So for instance, I use Go High Level. Love Go High Level. I think it's great. Put a lot of stuff in it. It's brilliant, right? Okay. But I'm not a digital marketer, right? And so I don't know all these little pieces that go in. I know that I can go in and build a funnel, and I've done that, right? And I know that I can do the automation piece sometimes. Sometimes. Did you hear me? Sometimes. And that goes great sometimes. But capturing everything, which is what you're talking about, like that needs to be done. Otherwise, we're not going to scale, or we're not even going to know how to scale because we don't have that info. Man, that is really good advice. Really good advice. And I wanted to talk to you about the automation, right? Because for someone who is really new to automation or just getting into it or don't know much, what are like some marketing tasks that we should be doing? Like the first, like what should we be doing to automate first to see like immediate tangible benefits, if that makes sense, right? Like what do you think in marketing world we should be doing? What should we be focusing on to start?
Definitely. Really good question. There's, of course, so many places we could start, but one big thing that you can do, which a lot of us, if we've had a business for a while and we've got an existing audience, one of the best things you can do if you need to, you know, just get clients in the door, is look at creating some kind of automation and or campaign around doing something with that existing audience, that existing list. Maybe it's previous customers who are no longer with you, no longer active, or it could be some leads that didn't convert. You can set up a very simple campaign where you're sending them a few emails, text messages, possibly even a WhatsApp message or two, reaching out to them to try and reactivate them. And the other thing that you can do in that process is there's several things you do. One really powerful thing you can do is you can have tracking in place. If someone, you send that email out and someone clicks on the email, you could insert a button that says, yes, I'm interested in speaking with you. You can have that linking to your booking calendar or possibly even just your phone number or even your WhatsApp business number, whatever it is. But you can also track, let's say someone clicked on that, they didn't book a call, they, you know, you didn't hear from them. You can still see, okay, well, I had people at least click on the email. So that tells me that they were interested. They just didn't book a call for whatever reason. So that's one of the things I would start with. That's one of the best ways. That's what we call a re-engagement campaign. And we're currently working with a client of ours, and they have a list of around 20,000 people where that's the case, either old customers or old leads. I think it's a mixture of the two. And even if 1% of those converted into a sale, then we would have, you know, 200 customers back in the door, which from sending a few emails is, you know, really, really good. Even if we got under 1%, we would still have, you know, quite a return given how little email marketing actually costs. So,
a reactivation,
re-engagement campaign is the quickest, easiest one to start with that is going to get you that quickest return. Of course, there's loads of other campaigns, automations we do. We recommend on a case-by-case basis. We normally do that on a discovery call with people who want to work with us. We normally have a quick audit of what's happening in the business, in the CRM, with their adverts. But that's the best thing I can suggest is that re-engagement type of campaign, because we often think just because someone is no longer a client of us now, you know, they may come back. You know, people, you know, things happen in people's lives, so they might have to just pause with you because of finances, personal stuff, but they can always come back in future as well. And also if those people are not interested, you can segue that conversation into a potential referral and say, okay, I understand you're not interested. Thank you for taking the time. Who do you know that's looking to buy back their time with marketing automation, whatever your pitch is? So there's lots of angles, lots of ways you can use CRM systems and automations to fill up your pipeline again if you need to get busy.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, right? Because what happens a lot, especially with entrepreneurs who are starting, or at least the ones I have spoken to, right, is that fear of selling. Right? I don't want to sell. I don't want to sell. Well, then you're not going to get like I tell people all the time, every email should have a way for them to connect with you. Do you agree with that?
Definitely. Yeah. I hear a lot of opinions on this where some people say that, you know, an email shouldn't be promoting and offering something, that there should not be an offer in every email. I would go a different route of opinion on that. And I would say you should always offer something in emails that you send, but it doesn't always have to be a hard sell or a pitch. You know, it can be a soft sell. It can be, your email could be, PS, if we're not connected on Facebook, click here to you know, connect with me, send me a friend request. So it should always be, you know, you never want to send people to a dead end. You always want to be directing them to something, whether it's a resource, whether it's to book in a call with you. Sometimes you can be a bit more direct depending on the context of the email you're sending. As an example, the re-engagement email or re-engagement sequence I mentioned, that initial email would be very much a soft offer or a soft push. So that would be click here if you would like to speak with me or the team. that wouldn't be click here to buy my stuff, right? That would be very much, that would be too much for someone who you haven't probably spoken to in several months. They haven't heard from you in a while. So you've got to understand the context, understand the audience. But those are some things I would consider.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Oh my gosh, you left so much on this table today. I one more question and then I'll let you go, okay? Because I know I told you 30 minutes, but I like talking to you, Seb. All right, so I know you're an avid world traveler. You like to go around. You like to meet a lot of different people in different cultures. I just was very curious on how this cross-cultural experience that you have has influenced your approach on marketing and relationship building. It just seems like everybody's different, right? You're in the UK, we're here in the US. Do you find it to be a different culturally, or do you find that most people are looking or seeking the same kind of things and results?
Great question. I think there's definitely some differences, but I think, you know, ultimately people are seeking the same kind of thing. There are definitely some differences, though. Like if we're working with someone who's overseas, then there's definitely some differences in some of the, let's say we're running some Facebook adverts for them. We would definitely notice a difference in the wording that we would write in those adverts. So there's definitely some obvious differences there and things to look at and review. But, you know, overall, I suppose from what we found, you know, people are working towards that same goal. You know, we've worked with businesses over in the UAE, in Dubai, working with a company in Ireland at the moment. So it really is a bit of a global business.
Yeah, of course, that's awesome.
There's, you know, other differences, time zones and all sorts of things to factor in and manage. But, you know, and of course, going back to the WhatsApp side of things, that's different in other countries as well. So in the UAE, in Dubai, that's really, really popular. They literally live on WhatsApp. Whereas I know in the US, that's becoming a bit more popular, but for a while that people were not using WhatsApp that much. I know that's slowly changing now. So so there are little differences like that I've definitely noticed that are also important. You know, you've got to know, you know, let's say that you were working with someone in the US and they wanted to do a WhatsApp campaign. Well, again, because it's slowly growing popularity, you've got to know, is that the right strategy? It may be, but there's a lot of things you have to, of course, consider and read the room a bit in that sense.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today on Straight Talk and dropping all those gems and I think these are great strategies. And I love the re-engagement campaign and looking at your numbers. Like all of this was so good for these entrepreneurs. So before I wrap up, because I've had an amazing success on this show where I've had people who have listened, worked with people who have been on the show, it's always important for me to have people know where to find you, how to work with you, all that stuff. So give us that information.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity on that. So the best way to find me is to go to our agency website, which is dbssdigital.com, dbssdigital.com. So on that website, what you can do when you get there is there'll be an option when you can book in a call with myself or with our expert team. And one of the things we like to do, as I mentioned, is spend a little bit of time understanding and learning your business. One of the things we also do is a bit of an audit on, let's say you send us a link to your website, we'll have a look at your website and make a couple of suggestions. It could be maybe you need to make the offer clearer. It could be that you need to make sure there's an easy way for people to leave their details so you can get more leads and build your list. So one of the things we always do, whether people work with us or not work with us, we always like to give some suggestion, give some value and, you know, give them an idea of what to do next. And then, you know, so we are looking for a very specific type of business. We do, as I say, work with service-based business owners. So, you know, there are some businesses that don't always qualify for what we do. But again, we never like to leave people empty-handed. We'll always point people in the right direction. It could be, you know, go and, you know, read this book or listen to this audio. We'll always offer them something, whether we work together or not, giving them that next step so they can ultimately achieve more success that they deserve and desire.
That's awesome. That's all good. Thank you so much, Seb, for hanging out with me and all my peeps here at Straight Talk. I really appreciate you, and I love this kind of conversation. I mean, you really just like opened my eyes to a lot of like different things I got to get done, things I got to look at, maybe call you for the WhatsApp thing. So thank you so much for hanging out with me. I appreciate you. Thank you. Awesome sauce.
You're welcome. Thanks very much.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me and Seb. I know that a lot of you are out here creating businesses. I speak to all of you all the time. You guys are my straight talkers, so I know what you do. But I really want you to think about, maybe I need an audit. Maybe I need somebody to look at my stuff. Maybe I need somebody who knows what the hell they're doing so my CRM can actually make me some damn money. So you have to really think about that. And I really encourage you, like Seb said, why don't you go ahead and go on that site, really start to talk to someone and see if maybe you're a good fit. And if you are, you can start to build your business and actually grow it, because that's what you got into this for to begin with, right? So make sure that you do things right. Why keep spinning your wheels and spinning your head and spending your money not knowing what the results are going to be? So thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.